This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Do we want to get right?
Late for your weekly dose of rock and roll. This is Get Loud with Stevie on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Get Loud with me, Stevie, and I have in the studio with me Phoebe from Heaven the Axe. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Stevie.
You guys are very shortly to play a pretty awesome gig. Do you want to tell us about it?
Sure. It is called Brutality Festival, and it is across two venues in Collingwood, the Tote and the Bendigo Hotel, and their motto is a celebration of brew and tunes and metal.
Brew and tunes and metal. Something so brew like as that. In the beers.
Yes.
Excellent.
And it's, I think, 33 Aussie metal bands.
33?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Starts at 2 o'clock and it sells out every year. We've played it two times before and it is literally the best, most happiest, cuddliest night of the scariest, hairiest, bearded, leather-clad, scary-looking people, but really they just want to cuddle and I love it.
So that's what I find with most leather-clad people. They just want to cuddle.
Yeah. Maybe the listeners have something different to say about that.
Oh, I don't know. Over here at Joy, we've got some pretty caring, sharing leather-clad people, so, you know.
Totally.
Exactly.
I often think that metalheads are, you know, they listen to this really heavy-sounding, scary music and they dress in spikes and leather and all that sort of stuff, but really inside they're so sensitive and cuddly and beautiful and that's my experience anyway.
That's what I reckon. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But you guys are going to be playing with a couple of new band members.
Yes, we are. So we actually had a public audition from January and the post kind of went a bit viral and went around the world, as you do on social media. And a guy wrote to me from Croatia and said, I'd like to come to Australia and audition for your band. And I'm like, oh, come on, that's pretty funny. I said, well, if you're serious, just send me a video, you know, save yourself the airfare. We don't know him.
Yeah, fair enough.
And he sent through the videos of the songs that we asked him to learn and he absolutely shredded them. It was unbelievable. We sat there with our jaws open and we said, mate, if you want the part, you've got it. And so he packed up everything, a Mustang and a castle and left it all and came over here to Australia to play in Heaven the Axe.
That's amazing.
It is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was a really big fan, so we'd known who he was. He wrote really respectful, nice fan mail before, so I knew he was a decent person.
Excellent.
He was just incredible, and the fact that he wanted to pack up everything, come the other side of the world to play in a band, I knew that that was the kind of person that we wanted to have in the band, because you got to be unstoppable, you got to not let things stop you, and that's like an unreasonable thing to do, and that. So I realised he was the perfect person because he was crazy.
Because he's crazy, and yeah. That's quite some dedication.
Absolutely. We keep him chained up at home just so that he makes sure he learns all the parts and let him out for a bit of sunshine once a week. And
well, you've got a deadline now because it's the 6th of August.
Yes.
Is your big gig.
Well, we play the first gig we do is actually the 4th of August at the Crover Lounge in Ballarat. So, and then we're going to Bendigo and Wollongong, Canberra, Sydney and Newcastle the following week.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we thought the best way to get gig fit with a new band is play gigs. So
absolutely.
Why not just do the biggest, best, most fun tour that we could think of?
Yeah, cool. So for people who aren't necessarily aware of you guys, what can they expect from all those different gigs?
Well, it's a very high-energy, tight, diverse-sounding band. So it's entertaining and fun. We have a lot of fun on stage and the audience always interacts with us and we just love it. But it's, I guess somebody drunk once said it sounds like Britney meets Slipknot. So or it sounds like a wild woman driving a Mack truck. I don't mind
I can picture that one. I don't know that I can picture Britney and Slipknot working out.
Well, who knows? Come and see Heaven the Accent.
True.
Yeah.
But with your new bandmates, how do you bond, or how do you bring them into otherwise Heaven the Accent is yourself and your husband?
Yes. Yep. Totally.
How does that work?
Well, we started songwriting together in Wagga Wagga, where we came from, in the year 2000. Sounds like another planet, doesn't it?
A long time ago.
And he's so incredibly good looking, and you can't sit there and play guitar and write songs and sing, you know. There's this chemistry that takes over, and, I mean, we make beautiful music together, full stop. So we've been together for 16 years, and the band has always been our mutual dream, and so we're very, very exclusively as a married couple. And except if he wants to hang out with girls, I kind of get a bit jealous, but I'll hang out with every bloke and go out with them and fall asleep on the lounge with them after a gig or whatever, and he shouldn't worry about that.
Totally fine. Sounds reasonable.
I like a bit of jealousy, though. I really do. I
gotta keep him motivated.
Yeah, well, it gets me motivated. Yeah, I mean, to bond with them, I think their top priorities are drinking and
fair enough.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time together, and you've got to be really direct, you know, in a band like Heaven the Axe, there's a lot of details and a lot of very tight music that goes on, so you have to communicate, and that's something that I've really stepped back and watching Steve really take care, because that's his department, is making sure the band is cranking musically. And just sitting back and watching him do his thing and communicate with these people, you really see how much communicating goes on in making the music exceptional. Because if it was me, I'd be like, yeah, that'll do. That sounds good. With him, he will just go, no, do it again. That's not right. Stop on this and do that extra note and all that. And I probably wouldn't have even heard that extra note, but his vision is so pedantic and particular, and I have, you know, a whole new level of respect just watching him have to teach new people the songs all the time.
You guys have been producing music together for a very long time.
Yeah.
Were you always in the metal category? No. Or where'd you come from?
Well, we're an acoustic duo, so I write a lot of songs on the acoustic guitar. So basically all the heavy and hard rock songs that Heaven the Axe done has started as an acoustic song, so it's an actual song on, that's written that way in a more, I guess, popular structured format. But then Steve, he has two functions, and that's heavy and metal. So I give him a beautiful acoustic ballad, and it ends up sounding like Metallica in 5 minutes. And he's just incredible. Like, that's what he does, and he transforms them into the beasts that they become. So
that is quite a skill.
Yeah, well, I think it's called reactive writing. Somebody said, you know, like a producer commented on how the guitar goes so well with the vocals, and he was shocked to hear that Steve's riffs actually are reacting to match what I wrote melodic wise first in the first place. Yeah. So it's something that not a lot of people do, is write in that particular way.
So are you guys working on new material now?
Yes.
That you've got a new band together?
Because of the lineup issues over the last 2 years, you know, it was really hard to get ahead. We had lots of good shows like Sebastian Bach and Zakk Wylde Black Label Society, and we played in Jakarta to 30,000 people, and so there was always something really good on the horizon to work out the set, but not really being able to put in the hours so that we could move ahead on the new music. And I've written about 300 songs now that are waiting in the wings.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but now we are moving ahead, and I'm really excited about them. So we'll be doing a few of them at this live show that no one's ever heard before. So it'll be a bit of a world debut, and we're looking forward to hearing the crowd reaction, you know.
Yeah, great.
Because we might like something, and then we get out there and there might be like a two-finger clap at the end. And
no.
Like, that one didn't work so well.
I can't imagine that ever happened. No. I'm sure it'll be great. So that must be really exciting to get new material out there.
Oh, it's this feeling, you know, that you live for. I was talking to my great friend Dallas Frasca the other night, because I got a sneak peek of her amazing record.
Awesome.
And we were saying, you know, it's like you're crowning. It's this feeling of you're about to give birth, and it's the most overwhelming feeling, you know, to have new material ready to go, but no one's heard it before.
Yeah.
I live for that feeling, without a doubt. It's, songwriting and bringing music together is the greatest joy that I definitely feel, and I chase that feeling all the time.
I'm going to ask a slightly more serious question.
Yeah.
Just because you guys did a online video thing for
All Things Metal?
Yes, that's the one.
Oh,
I had a look at some of the videos. You're crazy people. I won't give away. Can you still watch it online?
Yeah, you can. I think it's actually on my Facebook public page. So
I won't give away the ending then. because you have to tune in to have a look at what happens in the end.
Mm.
But somebody put a comment and Steve came back and called the BS, basically. But it was a comment about, you know, you get to a point in a band and then you have to put in this pretty, you know, booby busty blonde.
So
and it's just
funny.
Like, what? It was just the most ridiculous comment.
I'll tell you exactly what the comment was. It was, looks like we're in the category of let's get a hot blonde singer and make some cash. And Steve said, yeah, I hate playing music and I don't enjoy my wife's company at all. I've only been doing this with her for the last 16 years for the money. I haven't seen any yet, but I'm sure it's coming. Looks to me like we're going into the let's make a fuckwit of ourselves by standing on our soapbox and dissing people we've never met or know anything about.
WTF.
And, yeah, well, it's so funny. I love dressing like a white snake groupie. I mean, you see me at the supermarket dressed in all of that, and that's just who I am. Like, I do feel sometimes that my image, maybe in Australia, can really maybe hold us back, like, because I dress quite sexy, but that's just who I am, and I've always been that person, and I don't have to tone myself down for anyone. I'm allowed to dress like a hard rock groupie because I am playing hard rock and heavy metal, and that's just who I am. So it's funny to think that people have thought that the band is contrived when we're the most honest, real band with real songs, and I've actually written the music in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's just hilarious to think that that's happened. But, you know, if there's money out there, and here I am, bring it.
Can't bring it on, exactly. Might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah.
But I think you need a T-shirt that says, instead of I'm with the band, I am the band.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, tone down that confusion. But do you get that? Do you get a lot of people kind of criticizing you for being you in a metal band, which is, let's face it, there's
not really
a predominantly male-oriented genre, if you like, or slate of genres.
Yeah, I don't feel that I get judged or anything like that. Like, I hold my own as a musician and on tours and everything like that. I've never been disrespected because I'm a woman or anything like that. But that's because I know how to hold myself, and I can shoot someone down in an instant if they're giving me crap, and I don't waste my time with people that, you know, aren't worthy of having conversation with. I don't put myself in a situation or accept crap from anyone.
Yeah, good.
And that's just who I am, and I guess what you've got to be. You know, if you're running bands of really tough, crazy men, you have to be able to communicate, and that's just how it is. And I don't have a problem telling anyone if they're a fuckwit, I'll say it straight away.
Yeah, good. Because I think I know, since I've been doing this show, I've had some people say to me, I'm glad that you're female doing this. And, you know, thinking back then, I'm like, yeah, okay, when I was a teenager, I didn't feel like I could have that conversation.
Because
I was being judged for that, and people were not that accepting, and I felt a little bit intimidated about going to gigs and things like that because you are surrounded by a very male audience.
Totally, yeah.
Do you see that?
In my own experience and being a young woman growing up, I definitely have come a long way in being able to communicate. Like, I can remember trying to start a band when Steve and I first started playing music together, and I was embarrassed to even communicate that the song goes da 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 da, you know, like, and use my voice to communicate musically.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's absolutely no problem. But I really had to grow up and learn to communicate and get over being afraid or being scared to look bad or anything like that. Like, I did a lot of work on myself to be able to know how to create. So without having learned how to communicate as a practice, I wouldn't be in this position. I used to be somebody that you could be out at dinner and you'd say, oh, I think this about something, and someone else would say, well, you're wrong, and I think that this is how it is, and I would go, oh, well, you're probably right, you know, like, I've been that guy. I'm not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
And you need to have a bit of that to be able to make a band work, well, in this genre in particular, I guess. But I'm sure there's many combinations and all sorts of different people out there, and how they make it work is probably totally different to us.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's definitely, in many respects, exactly what you've said, not only in a band, but in various different, look, I'm going to take it outside of that. I'm not in a band, but I've had that experience in a workplace where you do actually have to, you're forced into a situation where you have to toughen up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is about communicating and going, well, no, too bad, so sad. I actually have an opinion and it's valid and this is what it is.
Definitely, yeah. And making yourself right, like making your own point of view completely okay, because everyone is entitled to their point of view. and you don't have to accept anyone, and you don't have to, you know, it's none of your business what other people think of you and what you think of other people. It doesn't matter. But standing in your own point of view and going, actually, that's how I truly do feel, so I'm going to stay with that because that really works for me. I mean, that's really important.
Where does your motivation come from? You've just said before that you have 300 songs in the bag.
Yeah.
What are you writing about?
Well, it's funny. A lot of the times when I write a song, it'll be like the syllables will come to me before the word.
Okay.
So the melody will take shape from a syllabic sense rather than, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to write something. And then words will start to take shape. And then however I'm feeling at the time, it'll just come from that. So I think a lot of the songs are very much about empowering yourself and validating your opinion like that and not giving up, you know, having your dream and sticking to it and saying F you to anyone that's, you know, in your way or shoving it in the face of people that have hurt you and just standing in your own power. And I think that's a lot of what the songs are about. Or love or, you know, politics or whatever. There's all kinds of things. But I always try and put really, you know, interesting and funny, colourful words into the songs. I've just written a new song called I'm the Bitch My Dreams Are Made Of.
And ooh.
I love it. I just love singing. I sing it in the car and I just imagine that the song, you know, is something that a lot of people would probably want to say to themselves, but they don't feel that they can.
Yeah.
Because it's so outlandish to say that. But I thought I'm just going to love singing this song. I think a lot of people will like it too.
That sounds awesome. I think that's the kind of song that you really do want to sing with a backing band that is all male.
Yeah.
Because you're in charge.
Yeah.
You're the boss.
Yeah, they really like it. I'm so excited to move ahead on that one.
We've got a new album to look forward to at some point.
Mm.
You're playing Brutality on the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a bunch of other dates that we can find via heaventheaxe.com.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're really pumped. We can't wait. And we're a friendly band, so if you do come to a gig, make sure you come find us and say hello. We love to meet our friends that come along to the gigs for sure.
There you go. You've been told.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in.
A sweaty post-gig cuddle.
Oh, yay. You the sweaty or they the sweaty? Who's sweaty in that
Me.
Situation? I think everybody's sweaty.
My mascara running down my face. It's a great look.
That's the best.
Yeah.
You know you've had a good time when your mascara is on the floor.
Yes. Thanks awesome. So much for having me.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.